Up your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter number 7, or stay standing there, Acts chapter number 7. It's good to be back with you tonight, and I appreciate the good spirit here at Clearview Baptist Church, amen. Appreciate the good hospitality that you've bestowed to us, and we just thank you for being so good. Thank you for the meal, and when after I eat Mexican, it usually puts me to sleep about an hour and a half later, amen, so no offense to my preacher, but I may be asleep here in a little bit, but I appreciate the good meal. Good to see a lot of friends here. Good to see my mama here, amen, and it's been good to be able to spend time at mama's house, amen. I like to be spoiled every now and then. I like, you know, a fella gets tired of hearing suck it up, buttercup, when I say I need a shirt ironed, amen. Nikita tells me that all the time. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate being able to stay at my mom's house. It's been a blessing to be able to spend time with her, and I appreciate her. Acts chapter number 7, look at verse number 51. Looking forward to hearing my preacher preach here in just a little bit. And he was a blessing last night, wasn't he? I got to hear him in junior high and high school chapel this morning, even elementary chapel. And I don't think I've ever heard him preach a better message than this morning. Amen. And I appreciate that good message. Acts chapter number 7, look at verse number 51. The Bible says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We're thanking you so much for allowing us to be able to assemble together here this evening. And dear Spirit of God, Lord, I ask you that you would move amongst this service tonight. Lord, I'd rather be seated and Lord, allow just Brother Fugate to stand up and preach tonight without having the power of God upon my life. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would, again, as we've prayed today, Lord, you'd empty me of myself and fill me with thy Spirit. Lord, allow the touch of God to be upon this service. Lord, it's my utmost desire tonight to preach a message of help to this congregation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would not only use the message, but use even a simpler messenger to get it across tonight. Lord, in my heart, Lord, what I want to get across. And Lord, we come to you. Lord, we ask you again that you'd encourage the discouraged, lift up the brokenhearted. Lord, I pray before this service is over, if there's anyone lost, that they'd get saved by the good grace of God. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll find in Acts chapter number 6 that not only was the church growing by leaps and bounds, but the disciples were multiplying by large numbers as well. And while the disciples needed to devote their time to prayer and preaching, there were some things that were going undone around the church house. Widows were being neglected and everyday activity was going undone. And you'll find that 7 deacons were chosen to take care of what the disciples couldn't. We find in the book of Acts that there were 3 requirements for those deacons. First of all, they had to have an honest report. Second of all, they needed to be full of the Holy Spirit. And third of all, they had to have wisdom. And the first deacon's name, or the first deacon that was chosen, was a young man named Stephen. And not much was said about Stephen, but what was said about Stephen was very profound. Matter of fact, let's look at a few things that were said about Stephen. Look at Acts chapter number 6 and look at verse number 5. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Look at verse number 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, and they all sat in the council looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Not much is said about Stephen, and he didn't have a very long ministry. But there was a group from the synagogue here in Acts chapter number 7 that began to falsely accuse him and saying that he was speaking blasphemous words against the temple and the law. And Stephen began to answer those from this Sanhedrin council. And he began to tell them about great men of God of days gone by. He began to tell them of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He began to tell them about Joseph and Moses and David. He began to speak to them about Solomon. And Stephen reminded them what God did for them, God would do for me as well. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 51, and Stephen began to preach to them the truth, and it cut them to the heart, the Bible says. Verse number 58, the Bible says, they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. They killed Stephen with stones. You understand, those stones, yes, they hurt Stephen. Those stones were hard stones. Those stones bruised Stephen. Those stones pierced his skin and made him bleed. Those stones formed scars that Stephen would take to his early grave. And as the angry mob kept on and kept on and kept on throwing those stones, they were hurtful stones. They were hard stones. And I guess you could say that Stephen was being hit with hard times. For a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on that subject, on what to do when you're hit with hard times. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news tonight, but can I say we all go through hard times. And my friend, we're all just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. And everybody gets hit with hard times every now and then. Everyone faces hard times. And so many times we think sometimes that when other Christians are falling on hard times, it's because of some wicked sin in their life. And that may not be the case at all. It could be that God has taken them through that hard time to be able to help somebody else down the road when they face the same hard time. Sometimes we as Christians, when we get hit with hard times or we experience the burdens of life, sometimes we focus all on our hard time and we forget about others. Can we be reminded our motto ought to be others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, let me live for others that I may live like thee. And Jesus spent his life living and even dying for others. Thank God, even though all of us go through hard times or eventually will go through hard times, I'm glad tonight that you and I can rely on the Word of God. I'm glad my Bible says, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Unlike Stephen, the hard times we're hit with are not actual stones, but sometimes they can hurt just as bad, can't they? Maybe tonight there's somebody, no, maybe about it, there are some people in the sound of my voice that are going through hard times. Maybe under the sound of my voice tonight, there's a mom or a dad here under the sound of my voice trying to cope or come to grips with that little boy or that little girl you raised in your home. And now they become wayward and Satan has a stronghold in their life. Maybe tonight there's a husband or a wife that comes to church alone because divorce has hit your home. Maybe tonight there's a widow that feels loneliness that no one else could understand, because their spouse is going on home to be with the Lord. Maybe tonight, under the sound of my voice, your hard time is you have to serve God and be faithful to church alone because you don't get support from anyone else in the home. Maybe tonight that you're grieving over a loved one that's no longer here. Maybe there's some here tonight that because of bad decisions in your past, you're now experiencing the repercussions of those bad decisions. Maybe tonight your hard time is you're a saint of God that's been serving God many, many years, and now you're not physically able to do what you were once able to do. Maybe tonight your hard time is Sickness has hit your family, and the doctors don't have any answers, and the medical bills are racking up. Maybe tonight you try to live right and straight, and you're the only one in your home that tries to live right. Maybe tonight, to understand my voice, there's somebody that your hard time, it's a financial strain because of job loss or lower wages or downsizing or just not being a good steward of God's money. Maybe tonight there's somebody on the side of my voice, you've been hurt, you've been abused emotionally, physically, sexually, or verbally. Maybe tonight you come from a broken home and you've never been able to experience living with a mom and dad at the same time. Maybe on the side of my voice tonight in this congregation, your hard time is you're a young lady or a middle-aged lady here tonight that's never heard daddy say, I love you. Maybe there's one here tonight that used to be strong and robust and full of energy. And you've traveled this journey of life, and the end is in clearer view than the beginning. Maybe tonight you feel like you can't get victory over past mistakes and bad decisions that you've made. Maybe somebody on the side of my voice tonight, that scary word called cancer has been said to you or a loved one. Can I say tonight, maybe I didn't mention your specific hard time, but we all go through hard times. And I want to take the life of Stephen tonight, and I want to see how he handled being hit with hard times. And my prayer tonight, my desire is, I hope the life of Stephen can help you and I to get through the hard times that we go through in life. I want us to notice, number one, look at verse 51 through verse number 53 tonight. Look at Acts chapter 7. Look at verse number 51 with me. The Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which show before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. Can I say, first of all, the first thing that I noticed when Stephen was about to be hit with hard times, first of all, I noticed the firmness of his stand. The firmness of his stand. You understand tonight, child of God, Stephen continued to preach the truth and not waver on his stand. He saw that angry mob that had the stones in their hand. He knew that they were about to cast those stones at him, but yet Stephen stood firm, even though he was about to be stoned with those hard stones. Can I say tonight, too many times we as Christians, we're faithful to God when we're on the mountaintop, we're faithful to church, and we're faithful to Bible reading, and we're faithful to prayer and soul winning and helping in ministries, but yet let a hard time come our way, or let us be hit by opposition, and we quit on God, or we throw in the towel. Can I say tonight, child of God, I'm not belittling your hard time, I'm not belittling the opposition that has come in your life, but child of God, it's not time to throw in the towel, it's not time to quit, it's not time to recant, it's time to stand firm and say, I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to live for God, even though I'm going through hard times. I've seen so many quit on God, or I've seen so many say, Brother Dallas, I'm just going to take a break because I'm going through these hard times. Can I say those hard times never get better, but they always get worse, my friend. Child of God, when a hard time comes our way, we try to treat God like some magic genie in a lamp, and expect God to answer our problems quick like in a hurry. Can we be reminded tonight, God is not some spare tire that we keep locked up in a trunk and use him whenever we have a flat tire in life. Our God is a jealous God, and he wants to be number one in our lives. Or to the other extreme, when we enjoy our pleasures. We enjoy our family picnics on Sundays and juniors' little league baseball games on Wednesday nights and going to the lake on Sunday. And then a hard time comes our way and we expect God to be there quick like in a hurry. Again, child of God, our God is a jealous God. And God is faithful and God is good. Whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're going through a valley, God's always good. I'm sure Jesus went through a hard time when he came into his own and his own received him not. I'm sure that Jesus went through a hard time when one of his own handpicked, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ went through a hard time when the Roman soldiers beat our lovely Lord Jesus Christ across the back with a cat of nine tails. When they placed the crown of thorns and pressed it into his skull, And they plucked the beard from his precious face, and when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and when he carried that cross up Golgotha's mountain, I'm sure that he went through a hard time when God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, and the Savior, a sinful man, bore the sins of all mankind in his body. I'm sure that Jesus Christ went through a hard time when he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin. But my friend, if Jesus would not have been firm in his stand and down the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for my sin and for your sin, none of us would have any alternative except to go to a place called hell tonight. But thank God tonight, when hard times came his way, he stood firm. Joseph stood firm, though he was a servant in the enemy's home. Daniel stood firm and continued to pray three times a day, even though the decree was signed. Job stood firm, though he lost his family and his riches. Jeremiah stood firm for 40 years preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." David stood firm and wouldn't lay his hands on God's anointed, even though Saul tried to kill him. And my friend, if these men could stand firm, that when they were hit with hard times, you and I could stand firm when we're hit with hard times. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. Men of God, it's not time to lower our standards or compromise. It's time to stand firm, even though when we go through the hard times of life. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can I say, first of all, I noticed the firmness of his stand, but second of all, look at verse number 55. Look at verse number 55 with me tonight. The Bible says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. How does Stephen handle being hit with hard times? Well, first of all, the firmness of his stand. But number two, I noticed the fullness of his spirit. Now understand this tonight. How many of us are saved by the grace of God tonight? Amen. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, the very moment that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we received the Holy Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And my friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, God the Holy Ghost lives inside of you tonight. On June the 16th, 2007, I left my mom and dad's house the last time as a single man. And my parents have been forever grateful since that day. Amen, I can promise you that. That day, I drove around the back of the Bethel Baptist Church and I went inside a Sunday school area there where all the teenagers would meet on Sunday, and myself and about a half a dozen other young men put on tuxedos there that day. And that day when I left my mom and dad's house, I drove about 15 minutes to that church. And that drive on the way to church, I was in that car by myself. I was alone in that car by myself. But that night, after the preacher pronounced us husband and wife, you understand, I didn't leave the church by myself that night. Somebody went home with me, amen. My new bride went home with me. August the 16th, 1998, my precious mama back there dropped me off about 6 months before that at a halfway house on the other side of Memphis, a suburb of Memphis called Bartlett, Tennessee. That night when she dropped me off, she said, "Chris," she said, "you're not going to hear from your dad and I for some time because we've been getting harassing phone calls from drug dealers that you owe money to." And sure enough, I didn't hear from my mom and dad for about 6 months. And in order to live in that halfway house, I had to attend an AA meeting every night and say, "My name is Chris Dallas. I'm a drug addict and alcoholic." And on one particular Sunday night, August the 16th, 1998 to be exact, I was walking out of that halfway house and getting my car to go to an AA meeting and say, "My name is Chris Dallas, I'm a drug addict and alcoholic." But that night the phone rang and I went and answered the phone. It was before I had a cell phone. It was back in the day when the phone was on the wall. And I went and answered the phone and I answered it, and it was the sweetest voice I'd heard in some time. It was my mama. And mama said, "Chris," she said, "your sisters and I have found a church that we've been going to, and we'd like for you to come out tonight." And I immediately agreed to go there that night, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I simply agreed to go just so I could manipulate my family and please them that I was in church. And maybe they'd be pleased enough that I was in church and let me get out of that halfway house and come home to live with them. And that night I left that halfway house, headed to the same church, the Bethel Baptist Church, which was about a 45-minute drive. And that 45-minute drive from that halfway house to that Baptist church, I was in that car by myself. I was alone in that car by myself. Can I say I was empty in that car by myself. I walked to that church house that night. I didn't care anything about God, but I soon realized He cared everything about me. Amen. I heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that night. Got saved by the grace of God. Can I say that night? I got to the church that night by myself, but thank God I didn't leave the church that night by myself. Somebody went home with me, and His name was the Holy Spirit of God. Can I say tonight, child of God, your testimony and your background may be different than my testimony and my background, and praise God that it is. But if you're saved by the grace of God, the same result is the same. God, the Holy Spirit of God, lives inside of you tonight. And my friend, you know another name for the Holy Spirit? His name is Comforter. And child of God, when you go through the trials of life, and when you go through the valleys of life, and when you go through the storms of life, you're not going through them by yourself. God, the Holy Spirit, is going through those storms with you. You understand tonight, there is no question tonight to the believer of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, the Bible says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That's why if you're truly born again, if you're truly a child of God, you can't go out here and enjoy sin like you did before you got saved by the grace of God. Why? Because not only does He comfort, but He convicts us of our sin. Amen. But I'm glad tonight, not only is He my comforter, I'm glad not only is He my conviction, but I praise God tonight, He's my combustion. Amen. He's my power. Amen. But child of God, you and I will never lose the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. We'll never do that. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can quench the Holy Spirit. And we can resist the Holy Spirit. And the reason you feel like you can't get through this hard time of life is not the Holy Spirit's power. He never loses His power. But it's because you and I don't have that power inside of us because we've resisted Him and we've quenched Him. My mama, when I was a 10-year-old boy, she made me, my mom was real mean to me when I was growing up, amen. She made me join the Boy Scouts. I go up in Maryland, and it doesn't take those folks up in Maryland to realize this boy, he's not from around here, amen. But people listen to my accent, especially when I'm up north, and they say, "That boy right there is a redneck hillbilly to the core," which I'm really not, amen. I'm a city slicker to the core, amen. I've got four-wheel drive on my pickup truck, not because it ever goes in mud. I just think it looks good on the side of my pickup truck, amen. But I was in the Boy Scouts for 2 weeks. And I quit the Boy Scouts after 2 weeks because they wouldn't give me a second helping of s'mores at the campfire, amen. But I remember when I was in the Boy Scouts, they had a wind advisory there. We camped out that night, but they had a wind advisory, and we could start a fire, but there was extra precaution that you had to take in order to start the fire. For instance, before everybody went to bed, two Boy Scouts had to take 2 5-gallon buckets of water, and they totally had to douse the fire out with the water. And then two other Boy Scouts, they had to take shovels, and they had to shovel dirt and totally smother the fire that was at the campfire. And child of God, tonight, there's no question that the Holy Spirit of God indwells within us. But maybe the reason tonight that you and I don't have the fire, another name for the Holy Spirit, to get through these trials is because we're shoveling the things of this world and we're totally smothering the fire. You understand tonight, maybe tonight, the reason you don't have the fire that God wants to extend in your life is because you're shoveling the things of Hollywood and you're shoveling the things of the internet. And you're shoveling the things of this world. Can I say tonight, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God should be a constant everyday activity in our life. Every day we live, we ought to have a new experience of this infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Child of God, we never come to the place in our Christian life where we have arrived and suddenly come filled with the Spirit, so there is no need for added fillings of the Holy Spirit. We never reach some elevated plane where God has nothing more to do for us, and we have come to the end of our experience with the Holy Spirit of God's filling. Being continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God is a command in the Bible, amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Many times in the book of Acts, men were filled time and time again of God's Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse number 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost. They were already saved, but they were filled again. Acts chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible says, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 7, verse number 55, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. Can I say tonight, you know why the divorce rate is so high in America? Because instead of us being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, America as a whole is filled with Hollywood. And the first time our marriages are hit with hard times, we do as Hollywood does and change spouses like we change clothes. There's no doubt the day that we receive Christ, we receive every bit of the Holy Ghost of God. The question tonight is not, do we as the child of God have the Holy Ghost? But the question is, does the Holy Ghost of God have us? Child of God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we will go through trials and we go through troubles and we'll go through the storms of life. But can I tell you, we can get through those storms because of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. First of all, the firmness of His stand. The fullness of His Spirit. Look at verse number 55. Look at the last part of it. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Can I say, first of all, I noticed the firmness of His stand. Number two, I noticed the fullness of His Spirit. But third of all, Stephen did not focus on the stones, but he focused on the Savior. Child of God, the day that you and I got saved, we trusted God with our eternal soul, and we can trust Him with the hard times that we're hit with. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse number 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with His benefits, even the God of our salvation. Psalm 103, verse number 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And I understand tonight that we all go through hard times, and maybe somebody's going through a hard time tonight. But child of God, can I say, I understand sometimes it's easy preaching, but hard living. But child of God, can I say, don't focus on the stones, but focus on the Savior. Amen. When Christian friends may hurt you, thank God He's a friend that's sitting closer than a brother. And at the day of salvation, He brought us up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and because we're one of His children, He'll bring us through this hard time. Amen. Thank God the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Maybe there's one here tonight that's been abused and you feel like nobody loves you. Thank God here it is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent us out to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank God, who shall separate us from the love of Christ shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's an older saint of God here tonight that fears death's chilly waters. Thank God, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You may be getting hit from hard times from every angle. And it may hurt. And you may not even be able to shed any more tears that you hurt so bad. But let's not focus on the stones, but let's focus on the Savior. First of all, the firmness of His stand. Second of all, the fullness of the Spirit. Third of all, He didn't focus on the stones, but He focused on the Savior. And lastly, look at verse number 60. The Bible says that He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin in their charge. And when He said this, He fell asleep. Lastly, Stephen forgave the sinners. Child of God, you can try to stand firm all you want to. You can try to be filled with the Spirit all you want to. You can try not to focus on the stones, but focus on the Savior all you want to. But until you and I learn to forgive that person or that place that we feel like has done us wrong, we'll continue to relive that hard time over and over again. Maybe there's someone here tonight, because of your past, you feel like you can't serve God. Can I say, not only has God forgiven you, but God's also forgotten your sin. Amen. And child of God, maybe there's somebody in the sound of my voice, you lived wicked and ungodly and mischievous before you got saved by the grace of God. Can I say tonight, it's never the God of heaven that reminds you of your past. It's always Slewfoot Satan that reminds you of your past, amen. And child of God, God doesn't remember you what you were. He remembers you as you are, amen. And maybe you lived a life of sin before you saved, but realize where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, amen. You understand, the Savior's last miracle before he died on the cross of Calvary was, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Life is too short to harbor bitterness towards anyone. You say somebody in the church or a family member has done me wrong, and I'm not going to forgive them. That's like Jesus, isn't it? The Bible says, behold, how beautiful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You say, well, I'm just not going to forgive them. You understand, relationships are not built upon perfection, but relationships are built upon forgiveness. All of us go through hard times. Your hard time may not be considered a hard time to me, and my hard time may not be considered a hard time to you, but we all go through hard times. And I believe the life of Stephen gave us a lesson. Stand firm, be filled with the Spirit, don't focus on the stones, but focus on the Savior. And lastly tonight, find out what it is to forgive that sinner. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Even when we were dead in our sins, Lord, you forgave us. You died on the cross for our sins, and you forgave us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I do come to you tonight. Lord, I pray that I was a help to this meeting. I pray that you'd be with my preacher tonight. Lord, allow the Spirit of God to rest upon him tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd bring a holy hush upon this place. Lord, allow the preaching of the Word of God, Lord, just to take residence in our souls tonight. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your name I pray. Amen.